Welcome to Hearts of Fire. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Winter. I want to invite you to journey with me into the miraculous as we explore God's kind of faith and examine our new identity in Christ so we can be transformed into a heart of fire.
In this season of seeking God, I become hungry. Hungry for the glory, thirsty for His presence. And I remember one day as I began to push forward, I flashed back and remembered when I was first saved. Over 20 years ago now, that I had an epiphany that God is awesome. Really and truly awesome. Bigger than life. Bigger than all of creation. I mean, He's just huge. I mean, God can do anything. God is limitless. His power is endless. I was just in awe. Do you remember when you were just in awe? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3 says, "The whole earth is filled with the glory." Then Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas." Unfortunately, the body of Christ has lost sight of just how majestic and powerful He is. We've become too familiar with the limitations of ourselves and circumstances that we've become now restricted and unable to perceive the unlimited greatness of our God. When we really see God for who He is, we become in awe and are overwhelmed by His majestic being. I mean, God is so magnificent, so wonderful, so mind-blowingly impressive that He's actually stunning to the senses. He's so marvelous that He's beyond our comprehension. Last year, while I was on vacation, my wife and I, we visited the Grand Canyon and we discovered something. The Grand Canyon is awesome. You know, when you look at the size of the Pacific Ocean, you realize the Pacific Ocean is awesome. Heck, even pizza's awesome. But God, He alone is truly awesome. I love what the Psalms say about God. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You've set Your glory above the heavens. In other words, God's glory is higher than the heavens. Today, there's so much interest and buzz about having heavenly encounters that people are now chasing after those who claim to have had these wild experiential testimonies about heavenly encounters. However, heaven itself cannot contain God. His majestic glory exceeds even heaven. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." It says that the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, we find in the book of Revelations that the angelic hosts, the 24 elders, and the living creatures, they all bow down and give glory to God. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." In this amazing relationship that we have with God, we get to encounter and experience the tangible manifestation of His glory. In its appearance, glory is radiant and spectacular, shimmering with light. However, the glory is so much more than brilliant appearance. The glory of God is in and of itself God Himself. The glory of God is the presence of God manifesting. It's the revealing of God's presence or the revelation of God's tangible being made present. In simple terms, the glory of God is the presence of the person of Jesus. The Hebrew word Shekinah is the Hebrew word that is used to theologically describe the presence of God as it manifests His person and His presence. However, the word glory has many aspects that flow out of this reality. And trying to properly define it is almost like painting a picture that seems almost fluid like water. However, even with its multifaceted dimensions, glory is very intentional. There's an aspect of glory that depicts someone that is a source of honor, fame, and adoration. This is why we give glory to God. We give God praise because there's no one like him. In sports and the heat of competition, rivalries are birthed. Yet God has no rival. He stands alone as the great and glorious King. And as we ascribe worship to God, we give him glory. And yet, glory is also the manifestation of his presence, as it is the very essence of himself. In him there is life. Without him, life would cease to exist. The glory that is him is what moves and sustains all creation. Sickness, disease, darkness, and demonic influence cannot exist in his presence. His glory, the glory that is him, is too great. When God shows up, the devil knows his time is up. Hallelujah. The biblical definition, the biblical Hebrew definition of glory is kavod, meaning heavyweight, which is apparent and abundant in splendor. Therefore, a biblical definition of glory is something that can be weighed. It's heavy. It's seen in its appearance, and it's felt in its abundance. God's heavenly glory is, it's heavy. It's weighty. There's an actual measurable amount of heavenly mass that is his glory, because it's part of the manifestation of himself that then radiates then from himself. And that glory is so dense in glorious mass that it actually becomes heavy in weight. Have you ever been in a place of worship and suddenly feel heavy? As if it's difficult to stand or lift up your hands? Well, the biblical defined purpose of glory is to make and establish someone as a heavyweight. And God is the heavyweight. Therefore, when we are in his presence and God manifests his glory, we then become weighed down by the heavenly mass, and we then become heavy. Hallelujah. If you're sitting next to someone, I want you to turn to them right now and just tell them, you're a heavyweight. Hallelujah. It's probably the only time you're ever going to be able to say that in your lifetime. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God is good. You know, because in life, when we encounter God, we get to enter into his presence and we get to enter into his glory. It becomes, you know, when we enter into that thing, we automatically experience increase in every area of life, because in the glory, there's the tangible manifestation of his person and presence. And where his presence is, there is life. And in life, everything begins to grow and thrive. There's a multiplication of abundance there. So in the natural, you know, everything is completely altered by the manifestation of his presence. It says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 11, that the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Hallelujah. The kavod, the heavy, weighty, glory mass of God's presence, had so filled the temple that the priests could not even enter in. You know, sometimes in meeting, the presence of God so fills an atmosphere that everything becomes electric and then changes. Hallelujah. Makes me think back to some years ago. I believe it was 2001, maybe 2000. You know, when I was in a Bible college, and some friends and I, we traveled from Portland, Oregon to Tacoma, Washington to go attend a Benny Hinn Miracle Crusade. And towards the end of the meeting, Pastor Benny called up my friends and myself onto the stage, and he released the anointing that was upon his life to come upon us for the next 24 hours. Well, after the meeting, you know, as a bunch of typical young college students, young men. We were hungry, so we stopped by the nearby Sherry's restaurant. And when we arrived, this lady recognized us from the Miracle Crusade, and she said, "Aren't you the young men who were called up on the stage?" And we said, "Yes." And then she starts giving us individually accurate words of knowledge. And with, you know, that at the time really blew our minds, and we didn't really know what to do. And the group that was, she was with, you know, they just led this young woman, a young lady, maybe about 20 years of age, 20 years old, to the Lord. And this young woman was still in a lot of bondage, and she had gone outside to smoke as this lady's giving us these words of knowledge. But so they explained the situation to us, and when we found this out, we aimed to pray for her deliverance. And when she came back inside the restaurant, you know, I laid my hand on her head. And the minute, the very moment my hand touched her head, instantly this young lady hit the floor, writhing around like a snake. And suddenly one of the waitresses comes through the double doors adjacent to the kitchen, and she sees this girl writhing around on the floor, hissing like a snake. The waitress freaked out, and she screamed, "Ah!" and ran back through those double doors, never to be seen again. We never saw her the rest of that time ever make an appearance. I mean, it freaked her out. And then this guy behind me, who was, you know, he was with his wife or girlfriend, and he's sitting down having his meal, and he says, "Excuse me." And I turn around, and I look at the guy, and he goes, "You shouldn't do that here. There's a time and a place, but this isn't it. You shouldn't do that here." And for a moment, I contemplated his objection. I reasoned, you know, the waitress was scared off. This is a public restaurant. But in the end, I realized that this man's words were said to provoke intimidation and fear. So I turned around, I took authority over the demonic spirit that was tormenting this young woman, and she was set free and delivered in the middle of the restaurant. The next thing I knew, to my surprise, everyone in the building, except for the waitress and that couple that objected, you know, they stopped eating. They actually got up out of their seats and formed a line, expecting me to lay hands on them for blessing. I was amazed. Then the original woman who had given my friends and I words of knowledge, she came over to me, grabs my hand, and starts placing my hand on everyone's head. And within minutes, the entire restaurant floor was now covered with bodies that were now overcome with the manifested presence of the glory of God. Friends, the glory of God is not limited to just churches, and he cannot be contained to a single location. How hungry are you to encounter his glory and witness his power? Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 says, Moses said, "Now show me your glory." Moses, after securing freedom from the people of Israel and growing in an intimately rich relationship with God, was so emboldened in his pursuit of God that he had the audacity to ask to see God's glory. Since the fall of Adam, up to that point, no man on earth, other than possibly Enoch, had a closer relationship with God than Moses. Yet Moses' desire for real, authentic intimacy with God was so great that he was not satisfied. When you really seek and go after God, your hunger for more of him only intensifies. It grows. It increases. Friends, are you satisfied with your relationship with God? Or is there a burning inside of you for more? Do you want to see his glory? Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. Exodus 34, 29. It says this. It says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord." God's glory can be seen, and that it had a divine effect on the natural, causing Moses' face to now glow with the radiant light. In other words, the manifestation of the glory is not just heavy in weight, but it also produces radiant light that can be seen and experienced. I remember the first time I went to church as a new believer. When I walked inside and I looked upon the people's faces, I was shocked because everyone's faces glowed with the glory. That was a big thing for me. That was a big witness. And, you know, it served as a sign to me from God that there was so much more than I'd ever imagined. You know, continuing on in Exodus chapter 34, verse 33, it says, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. You know, when he came out and he told the Israelites what God had commanded, they saw that Moses' face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went out to speak to the Lord again. I mean, can you imagine the sequence? I mean, being so consumed with his presence that the glory is now radiating an intense glow on your face. Wow. I mean, God's glory, the heavenly mass, I mean, it's so powerful that it releases electromagnetic waves that produce bright light. I mean, when we encounter the light, we encounter the glory, we encounter the brilliant, radiant essence of his being, which has a profound effect on us, and that it causes us to glow. You see, there's a natural light, and then there's a heavenly light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Did you know that sound is the origin of light? For years now, science has understood that an atom broken down to its most finite state is nothing more than concentrated light form. Even more recently, scientists discovered that light can be broken down even further. Light reduced to its most infant form is what science calls vibrating supercells of sound. So then, sound is the basis of all life. I mean, this is fascinating to me because science is now confirming scripture. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's voice is the base formula for matter. And when God's voice spoke, the vibration from the sound of his voice brought forth light. Because when God's glory is apparent, the light that manifests carries the authority of his word. Light is unique in that it gives life, or it can take life. The sun gives life, but too much of it, especially in concentrated dosages, it does nothing but destroys. The manifestation of God's glory is so holy that it instantly destroys cancer, sickness, disease, and demons of darkness. This is why we see so many miracles when we worship in the glory. And this is why we need to abide in the glory. In Exodus chapter 40, we read that Moses could not even enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord then filled the tabernacle. Here we see the glory manifest in the form of a cloud. And the glory is so thick that Moses, the very man who had asked God to show him his glory, who experienced heavenly encounters, mass so strong that the manifestation of its reality that not even Moses could then now enter into the tent of meeting. This is just amazing to me. It says in verse 36 that in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, then they did not set out until the day it lifted. I love how God manifests himself in such a glorious demonstration, like only he can do. But I think the Israelites' response is profound, because they only went wherever the glory went. If the glory moved, they moved. If the glory stayed, they stayed. Because they stayed and moved in the glory. This is a powerful revelation on how to respond to glory to God in moments when the glory of God is presently manifested. Friends, God wants to do so much more than show demonstrations of glory for pure entertainment purposes. God wants to reveal His manifested glory both to you and then in you. When we were created to be vessels that host His manifested glory, which is birthed out of an intimate face-to-face relationship with Christ, and miracles are a supernatural byproduct of being close with God, and He is with us here now on this program. Hallelujah. You know, in your homes, in your cars, wherever it is that you're listening, I want you just to lift up your hands right now. Lift up your hands like they're a lightning rod that the Lord can then strike. It says in Job 36, verse 32, that God holds lightning in His hands and He commands it to strike and hit its mark. God doesn't miss. So lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Father, right now we decree and declare that the glory of the presence of the person of Jesus comes in the manifested form of the person of Jesus in their hearts, in their homes, in their workplace, in their cars, where they're at right now, that the glory so fills and saturates them right now with your powerful presence, God. Just let them come into that encounter, that experience, into the season of waiting on the powerful, weighty glory, that Shekinah glory, God. Let it come shining brilliantly with the light and the kabod, the heaviness of your presence, God. Come right now to all those that are listening, that you may manifest your person, your presence, right where they are, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hearts of Fire podcast. I've been your host, Dr. Aaron Winter. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread the gospel. We hope that through this podcast that you experience God in a real and tangible way. Through media, products, conferences, and evangelistic campaigns, our heartbeat is to bring everyone to the place of encounter. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we would like to encourage you to pray and ask God about becoming a monthly partner or sowing a single one-time gift into the ministry. Your generous financial support empowers us to accomplish this mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can experience God. Visit us online today at www.heartsoffireintl.com. That's www.heartsoffireintl.com. Or you can give directly through Cash App at $HeartsOfFire. Thanks again for listening to Dr. Aaron Winter on the Hearts of Fire podcast.